that day, and it's not long at all. We all have very short lives in respect to eternity. And so we're all excited, and we all sit hoping for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. It won't be very long. Our faith, our victorious faith, that's something that we have been talking about on Sunday evenings for just a few weeks now. And in the mornings, we're talking about victory in Jesus also. There's no better way to build up and establish ourselves than to think of all the great things that God has done, what Jesus has done, and all these things come together to lead us on to victory over so many different ailments of life. And our theme is based upon the word of the book of 1 John. And it's something that we all have heard so many times in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. We hear John write, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And we're proclaiming the faith that we have in Jesus. He is the Son of God. That he's already overcome sin and death and the world. And not just the world of sin, but anything that gets in the way of a good and strong and proper relationship with our Father God. In our previous lessons, we talked about anxiety, overcoming anxiety. It's a big problem in the world that we live in today. The National Institute of Mental Health says that it afflicts more than 23 million people at any given time. It disrupts family and it disrupts work and households. It is the most common of all the disorders. The problem with faith in Jesus that people don't have, and yet when you have faith in Jesus, you can overcome. We remind ourselves that God's providential love is always there. Teaching of the Lord, of the Word of God, is always available to us. And revealing our own limitations is something that we can understand, because our God is limitless. His ability to help us has no boundaries. And in addition, through Jesus, his work on the cross, the work that he does now as the intercessor, as our high priest that Randy mentioned earlier in the opening statements, it means that anxiety, and it can be dealt with, and it can be relieved. Well, as we think about anxiety, we noted that our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God helps us to overcome any problems in the world. And we want to remember a statement that the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. We talked about Jehoshaphat and his problem with being attacked from every side by all the different nations surrounding him. And the very first thing in 2 Chronicles records in chapter 20 and verse 3 that he went and he prayed, and he prayed hard. He didn't let the trouble control his thoughts. He didn't forget that God rules. And we need to remember that. And those principles will help us through almost any troubles. But tonight we want to consider something that you might not think is much of a problem, and that is being able to overcome boredom. Another problem that many people face, apart from that anxiety. Anxiety is a state of uneasiness or apprehension. But boredom is a condition of mental weariness or listlessness and discontent. Anxiety is often cause of thinking too much at one time. Boredom is a result of thinking there's just nothing to do, that there isn't anything left. Anxiety is something that often it's the bane of adults, where boredom is often a real problem with young people. Boredom is a problem with children. What parent has never heard the phrases from their children, "I'm bored"? You ever hear that? "I'm bored." And that's normal in some situations to a child, but when it becomes an issue of life, it's very destructive. Boredom has very serious effects. Sadly and very true, many teens suffer from boredom, which leads to other very serious problems. According to Live Strong, it's a website dedicated to the problems of teens, boredom leads to inappropriate and illegal activities. And what you think, a fellow named Joseph Calafino, chairman and president of the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse at the university, he says that the likelihood a teenager will smoke, drink, and use illegal substances increases when he feels bored. Boredom is often cause to teens to lose interest in family and interactions and activities. Boredom is a real problem, and we need to be able to address that. And when we translate this to children of God and His church, then you have a real serious problem. You know, there are people who their idea of church is excitement. You wonder why the denominational world is growing so fast and why the church struggles to increase its membership, to add to the body of Christ sometimes. And there's many reasons. It's not a simplistic answer, but for sure, when you think about all those churches out there and what they're doing with the light shows and the smoke shows and the entertainment and the bands and orchestras, and that's exciting. It keeps them busy. But the problem is, and this is true, if you look it up on your website, you can just look up why are so many teens falling away from the church, and you'll find youth leaders and church people everywhere across this country in the hundreds and hundreds of thousands saying that the youth programs aren't working. Because the boredom is a problem from within. And once those children leave to go to high school and go on into college, the church becomes boring. And it's because they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not teaching the meat of the Word. And the only thing that kept those youth there is that game and that entertainment. And once that's gone, they're gone. Because then it becomes boring. And like anxiety and boredom can have a debilitating effect upon our relationship with our Father and our usefulness to Jesus Christ and His church. And that's why we want to be able to address this issue and be able to overcome the idea of boredom. This morning, I just briefly mentioned that boredom can be such a problem in the church. And the more and more I think about it, the more I realize that my neighbor in Akron, who told me that we cannot worship God properly because we don't have musical instruments, who told me that because we don't have miraculous healings and light shows and people singing solos, that we can't worship God. She would be bored here. And so the church needs to address this. Understanding boredom, and I want to go through some of these things with you, so that we have a good foundation. Defining boredom, according to the self-proclaimed boredom expert, Garfield the Cat. This is true, I read this. He says that these are tips that tell us how to tell if you're really bored. Number one, you paint little faces on your nails and pretend each finger is a person. Number two, you spend hours watching the bread mold. And three, you braid your eyebrows. Four, you watch a three-hour documentary on sewage treatment. Five, you start playing with spoons. And then you wonder if you're really bored. And so, more seriously though, it's a condition of mental weariness. It's a listlessness or a discontent, according to the American Heritage Dictionary. What is of interest is that the word did not even enter into the English language It didn't even exist, the word being bored, until the Enlightenment of the 18th century, the beginning of the modern era. And you put those together. You put two and two together and you see. There was a time when people weren't bored, they just worked. Or they read and they studied through books, they learned. And when the modern era came, that all changed. Causes of boredom. Boredom is often a result of too much wealth, too much time on your hands. Boredom is an epidemic among children today. I mentioned that according to one source, the problem is television, videos, computer games. We believe those things are entertaining our children. And what they're doing is destroying them. And that problem also, such activities such as they bombard the children with fast-moving stimuli, but they don't give them a chance to slow down, to reflect, to learn, to process information. And so by this very success in inventing labor-saving devices, modern man has actually manufactured an abyss of boredom that only the privileged class in the earlier civilizations ever fathomed. We've caused a problem, and it only gets worse. There's some other things that I read about. Russian women are finding that boredom and depression are side effects of wealth. That's what their study was, according to the New York Times. And by this very success of inventing labor-saving devices, all this is just creating a great abyss, a huge hole in people's lives. And these statements are true statements. They're to the point that one time there was men, a time when men just worked. They didn't have time to be bored. But unlike the rich who sat around with really nothing to do, they were catered, they had servants, and they got bored. But the working class, there was no such thing as I'm bored. I don't have time to be bored. And I want you to, again, address that and bring it into the body of Christ. We need to be a working church. Remember this morning we talked about how important it was to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Always abounding, exceeding, excelling, going way beyond, right? The work. And we need to be a working body of Christ. And what happens when we aren't together working is we get bored. And I think that's a big problem in the church. And so we want to find ways to work together. I'm really excited here when we had our first summer class since I've been here, and it was a great success. People worked together. It was a good thing. We're going to have another one. We're going to put together a little more work this time. So it'll be even a greater success. And the biggest success is if we're doing things together, becoming family, and being careful that we don't find ourselves with so much time that we're bored. Being bored is what causes people to go around and go from church to church and not having a home. Boredom can also be traced to the lack of faith in God, according to Eric Hoffer, a lack of faith in God, a preoccupation with self to neglect of what is a preoccupation with self to the neglect of what is around us. Also, boredom, what happens when we lose contact, he says, with the universe, but I believe that can translate to one another. When people are bored, it's primarily with their own selves. And so boredom is attributed to these things: unchallenging, unfulfilling, a lack of physical activity, and being too much of a spectator and too little of a participant. And if we can just, I don't have to say it, if we think of that in the body and how that affects the body, if we're just spectators and not participants. And we look. Just a few weeks ago when we had that class, we weren't spectators. We were participants. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. danger of boredom, discontent, listless. We're susceptible to what promises excitement. We start thinking, well, maybe it's better over here. And I know that the Lord says, sing with your voices, with your heart, sing out. But you know that Church of Christ over there, they're using instruments, and I see them people, they're all excited. And so then we start thinking, doctrine's not important. Because then I want the excitement. Boredom has made people into gamblers, more drunkards than thirst, perhaps many suicides as despair. And boredom is often a motivation for adultery, for divorce, abuse, alcohol, drugs, even suicide. Boredom is a vital problem of the moralist, since at least half of the sins of mankind are caused by the fear of it. And so there's dangers. When a Christian is bored, he's not very active in the service of the Lord. I mean, the only way you can be bored with the church is if you're not a part of it. And he is therefore not very useful to the Lord. Very dangerous. And he runs the risk of falling headfirst into some other sin. Well, that's the foundation. And I hope I didn't bore you. But that's the way it is. It is a very serious problem, something that we all need to address. And as we talk this morning, we're addressing these issues here not just because of ourselves. I'm not bored. I don't have time to be bored. I'm serious. But our people around me can be bored. And so I want to be able to turn those people on to something that's going to light them up spiritually. I want to be able to help people not be bored. I want to keep them out of the sin that befalls those who are bored. Boredom has been called a chronic symptom of pleasure and obsessed age. For the Christian, with faith in Jesus, it's possible to overcome this boredom. So here's how. Overcoming boredom through faith in Jesus. Boy, I bet you knew I was going to say that. Right? I mean, everybody that I know that loves Jesus, everybody I know that understands the Father and has a proper relationship with the Father knows that all these problems are going to come through the right relationship and through faith. Faith can move mountains, can it? Faith can walk on water, can it not? Faith can heal the blind, the lame, and the sick. Right? Why do we pray that somebody's going to be healed of some disease or some problem in life? Why do we heal when people have surgeries, as we've had a couple of people like Brother Carter and Sister Mary? Why do we pray? Because we know God hears our prayers. We know God, through faith, He can touch those people and help them in ways that they couldn't be helped otherwise. It's not a little thing to say that overcoming boredom through faith in Jesus Christ is the answer. It's not cliche. It is rock solid truth. Because Jesus can change the focus in your life if you let Him. All of us are susceptible to keeping Jesus at bay. All of us have the ability to be able to keep Him at arm's length. There are many, many who are not among us tonight who keep Jesus right over here where they need Him. Because they ignore the words not to forsake the assembly of yourselves. There are many people who don't understand what it means to be a part of a local work. And they keep God at bay when they read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 where Paul tried to join himself to the work there in Jerusalem. And we see that as an apostolic example that we need to be a part of a local work, not a part of many, many congregations. You cannot be working in a work if you're in many different groups. Jesus changes our focus in life. Boredom is the result of an obsession with self. What pleases me? What do I like and what do I don't like about the preacher? What do I like and I don't like about the congregation? What do I like and I don't like about the way they painted the walls? Jesus can take all that away. Boredom is the result of obsession and with self and material possessions. And yet Jesus teaches us to deny self. What did He say in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24? He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Daily. And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose his life. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." You see, He can put us right on that road. When we're living for Jesus, like Paul, who was, "I have been crucified in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." When we do that, you don't have time to be bored. Anxiety can be taken away in a blink of an eye. And thus we have two very simple principles. People who are obsessed with self are never happy. People who lose themselves in the service to God are never bored. You don't have time to be bored. You're not interested in being bored. You recognize other people who don't have what you have. To accomplish the latter, we have to change the objects of our affections. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." Boredom is a problem of the heart. If our treasure is in the Word of God, if our treasure is in the work of a local work, a congregation, if we're all focused on these things, and listen, God, that's where your treasure is, how can you be bored? If you're confused about where your treasure is, boredom sets in, anxiety sets in, issues, conflicts, all these things happen as a result. The pleasure of earthly things, it's fleeting at best. And it happens because of inevitable letdowns. Anything in this world is going to eventually let you down. Hebrews 11:25, it's the pleasure of passing sin. And the only permanent possession that we have are our treasures that are in heaven. Our afflictions, our affections rather, should be placed on that. You know, you remember pirates? What did they do with their treasures? They buried them. And then they lost them. And eventually, even if they didn't lose them, they died and the treasure was gone to someone else or something else, or maybe it's still in the ground. But if they had put those treasures in heaven, they would have just been there waiting for them when they came. So His teachings are designed to give us great joy. Listen to the words of Jesus. You know, look in your Bibles in John chapter 15 and verse 11. Listen to Jesus. Look and see what He's saying. "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you." That's pretty powerful to me. But then He ends with that your joy may be full. He uses the word full. There are people in this world that have joy, but their joy is not full. Because their joy is in things. Their joy is in themselves. Their joy is in the what they're doing that they like. And when that changes, they become bored. They become anxious. Jesus says that your joy may be full. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 35, something very similar. I have shown you in every way looking or laboring like this that you support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You cannot find boredom when you're giving and working in the Lord. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path in life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Did you see that? Where is the fullness of joy? Is it in me? It's not in me. Is it in anything out there in the world? Is it because I got this great new car? Is it because I have a roof over my head? Is it because I have money, jobs, possessions, family, friends? No. Read it again. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. You need to be in the presence of the Lord in order to have fullness of joy. And listen, the Lord is not a He's not a multiple personality. He's not one thing to one person, one thing to somebody else. He's not something to me in the morning when I feel good and something else to me in the night when I go to bed and I'm tired and hard after a hard day's work, or maybe I just can't seem to get something straight in my life. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi says God changes not. It's the same God. We can trust Him. We know that if we're on that path that He provided, then we're in the presence of the Lord by our faith and our knowledge of Him, then our joy is coming from Him. And it's a fullness of joy. There's no boredom there. That pushes boredom right out of there. The fullness of joy. Walking on the right path brings one into the presence of God. The lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walking on that path brings us into the presence of God, and in return we have the fullness of joy from Him. It's a gift, a blessing that comes from God. If you refuse to walk that pathway, you may be happy from time to time. Maybe you're not happy from time to time. Maybe you believe that you're going to be okay without God, but sooner or later it's going to hit you. You need God. You need to be on that path because you can't have full joy apart from Him. On the flip side, if you're on the wrong path, on a non-relationship with the Father, joy, you got happiness here and there, yes, but it's not the fullness of joy. It's not the knowledge that the person you put your trust in overcame death. It's not the knowledge that the person you put your trust in calmed the storms of the sea and the winds and the rain and can do the same thing in your life. You can be happy until your car breaks down or money problems or wife problems or children problems or health problems. None of those things can take away your joy if you're walking on the right path. Building faith, a sincere desire to follow Jesus and His teaching. That's how we overcome boredom, with a victorious faith. Because doing that attacks the very root of the problem of boredom, and which is a preoccupation of self. It's all about me. It's what I think, what I believe. Listen, what we believe does not help us. It does not save us. And it never can unless, you know, I said unless, what we believe is the Word of God. Jesus enlists us to service, designed to truly satisfy. Many people are bored because they know their efforts mean very little. Yet Jesus would have us enlist in service with eternal consequences. Saving one's soul is an eternal consequence. Helping other people to come to Christ is an eternal consequence. Going out and preaching the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, is an eternal consequence. That's the work, one of the major works of the church is evangelism. And that helps us. It also helps other people. In proper perspective, it's more important than gaining the whole wide world, is what Jesus said. Right? What does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What would you give in return for your soul? Apostles found their service to God to be a source of great joy. John saw the fruits of his labors, and he had written no greater joy. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, I rejoice greatly. This is a guy who's on an island somewhere all by himself. Where else would you be to be bored? Right? You're on an island all by yourself. Boredom has got to be slipping in there. But John says, I rejoice greatly. And he says, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. The prospect of seeing a convert in the presence of the Lord, that gave Paul great joy and hope. To the Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 19, for what is our hope and joy, our crown of joy? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are my glory and my joy. Knowing that you've helped somebody along that path that leads to a relationship with the Father is great joy. And when you're doing those kinds of things, you're not going to be bored. When one is engaged in the work of Jesus, their labors are never in vain. Because our labor has cosmic consequence. And it doesn't matter what the labor is. It doesn't matter if it's evangelism. It doesn't matter if it's teaching in a classroom or working with young people. It doesn't matter if it's preparing the communion table. It doesn't matter if it's mowing the lawn for to keep the Lord's treasury for things that it's needed for. No, engaging in the work, in the labor of the Lord, it has great, great cosmic consequence. In Ephesians chapter 6, and in verses 12 and following, Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against powers and principalities, against the rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual wickedness that is in the heavenly places. That's not the problem. We take up the whole armor of God, the Word of God, that breastplate of righteousness, that helmet, that sword. We take these things up. We shod our feet. And God says, because of that, we're going to be able to withstand the evil day. And He says, having done all this, stand. Stand therefore. Listen, are you working in this battle? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle. Principalities and powers against rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. If you're doing that, you can't be bored. If you're doing that, you're part of the growth of the body of Christ here in Bedford. If you're working with the saints together in this battle, going out and teaching, going out and preaching, going out and helping and encouraging and uplifting and exhorting, being a volunteer for the work that's done in the local church, then I have a really easy question for you. How can one be bored with that? How can we be bored if we're busy? Remember, boredom comes from people who have nothing to do. Boredom comes when we sit around thinking too much about what we like or don't like. Boredom comes when we turn our eyes away from the brightness of God's Word. Boredom comes when we turn our attentions onto ourselves instead of the needs of others. Boredom comes when we, spiritually, we stop participating in the work. When we're not fighting that battle. And if we're out busy fighting the battle, how can one be bored with that? We can't. So faith in Jesus Christ means believing. It means doing everything in the name of Jesus, everything that He commanded. Then you're not going to be bored. You're not going to be bored. Solomon learned after a life of excess that this world has nothing lasting to offer. And though exciting at first, it all proved to be vanity, Ecclesiastes 2, he says. He concluded that the very purpose of man was to fear God and keep His commandments. You can't be bored with that. Boredom is a result of preoccupation with the vanity of one's life. Jesus came to deliver us from any sense of listlessness and discontent. Beloved, you don't have time to be bored if you're walking in the footsteps of the Savior. And on Sundays when we sing that song, that I want to be a worker of the Lord, you can't be bored if you love that song. He does so by giving us purpose, by giving us direction in life, that we might find great joy, full joy, I should have put there, in serving God and His children. Listen, there are so many people in this world that are out trying to find self, right? What is my purpose? Just read the last verse in Ecclesiastes, and you'll know your purpose. To fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And when we do those things, because of Jesus, because of what He did for us, we'll never be bored. And we can help other people. So when you see somebody that genuinely is bored, don't walk away. Turn that light of Jesus on in those people. Tell them about the fullness of joy. Tell them about the love of God. Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? If you have not, then there are times and places where boredom and anxieties and these other problems that we'll talk about can infiltrate and get into your life. The problem is that they don't come in with big fanfare. They come in kind of quiet, and pretty soon you find yourself being afraid to talk to people. You find yourself not being as happy around people as you were normally or as you used to be. You find yourself in a situation where every word that somebody utters you think is a personal attack. Jesus can free you from all that by being washed in the blood of the Lamb, fully trusting in His grace this hour. Do you have a need? If you do, I invite you to come now and as we stand and as we sing.